de mi parte preguntar sobre muchas cuentas en redes sociales vinculadas.
Es muy importante decirlo, dijo el secretario. Las operaciones, todas las operaciones se realizan por las fuerzas federales. No hay participación en la operación de fuerzas de Estados Unidos. Lo que hay es mucho intercambio de información. Como lo hemos dicho aquí varias veces, el entendimiento con Estados Unidos se basa fundamentalmente en intercambio de inteligencia de información. En este caso, hubo información que prestó el gobierno de los Estados Unidos, incluso ellos sacaron un comunicado, inteligencia, pero toda la operación desde su planeación es responsabilidad pues de las fuerzas federales, en este caso de la Secretaría de la Defensa Nacional.
Gracias, presidenta.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, February the 23rd, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with what is happening in Mexico. We have the killing of one of the big drug cartel leaders, El Mencho, who headed up the CJNG cartel? The CJNG, yeah. A big cartel in Mexico. A cartel that is very powerful. I've seen images of the cartel members dressed up in full military gear. At first I thought it was the police, but it was actually the cartel members who are now retaliating against the Mexican police and authorities after the death of El Mencho. The United States, they have already issued a statement. Caroline Leavitt said that the U.S. Helped in the killing of El Mencho. They provided intelligence support to the Mexican authorities. So we have a lot of fighting going on in Mexico. At least that's how it looks from the images and the videos that are on the interwebs. The CJNG cartel, they are putting up roadblocks in various areas of Mexico, in Jalisco, Guadalajara. I believe it's spreading to Oaxaca, and they're burning down banks. At least we're getting images and videos of banks being burned. I saw some reports claiming that the airport in Guadalajara was under some sort of an attack. But an interesting development happening in Mexico at this moment, right at the same time that we could be seeing the United States engaging in a conflict against Iran. To the U.S.'s southern border, we have violence breaking out in Mexico. El Mencho, the cartel leader, who was killed, he had a $15 million bounty on his head from the FBI. $15 million reward for this guy. That's $5 million more than Al Jilani. Al Jilani had a $10 million bounty on him, and he became president of Syria. El Mencho, he was assassinated, he was killed. So that's the situation in Mexico. We'll see how all of this develops, and I guess now we can shift gears to Project Ukraine. I did not expect something to go down in Mexico. I don't think anyone expected this to be happening in Mexico. But there you have it. So let's talk about Project Ukraine on this rainy day here in Limassol, and the Goblin Ver, le Goblin Ver, he gave an interview to local, I believe it was local Ukraine media, as well as a big interview to the one and only BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, the protectors of news, the BBC, big time fanboys of the Green Goblin, that BBC, and they had exclusive access to Zelensky in his palace in Kiev. And the big quote from this interview was Zelensky being asked by the BBC interviewer about World War III. Are we in World War III or have we started World War III? That was the question presented to Le Goblin Vert, and he said, we are indeed in World War III, and Putin started it. That's right, Putin has started World War III. And the only thing that remains is to see if the collective West is going to allow Putin to continue to advance and to expand his empire. That is the message from Zelensky. I want to read you his quote, and I think over here I can put the umbrella down and I can read you his exact quote, because I never want to misquote Zelensky. Let's see, the BBC has an article with the title, Zelensky tells BBC, Putin has started World War III and must be stopped. I believe that Putin has already started it. The question is how much territory he will be able to seize and how to stop him. Russia wants to impose on the world a different way of life and change the lives people have chosen for themselves. Russia wants to impose, Putin wants to impose a different way of life. He wants to break apart the Epstein class, the globalist world order. What am I saying? Did I say the Epstein class? That was not correct. I misspoke. He wants to tear down the rules-based order. That's what I want to say. He wants to tear down the international-based rules-based order, the international-based rules-based order, whatever. He wants to tear that sucker down. And Zelensky is saying that he must be stopped. He must be stopped. So that's the big quote from the interview with the BBC. In the article accompanying this interview on the BBC, they admit, if you go way, way down in the article, they admit that, or they reveal, that Jonathan Powell, the national security advisor for the UK, that ever since Zelensky's blow-up with Trump in the Oval Office way back in February, I believe it was February, that Powell has been coaching Zelensky. He has been telling Zelensky how to behave with the U.S. president, what to say, how to act, how to not upset the United States and President Trump. He has taken Zelensky under his wing. An admission from the BBC that the UK is running the Green Goblin. They are indeed pulling the Green Goblin's strings, or at least some of his strings. Powell is the guy that was at the Intercontinental in Geneva, and he was trying to crash the talks between the United States and Russia just last week. The same Powell, that guy who was trying to sabotage the U.S.-Russia talks, well, he is, according to the BBC, he is coaching Zelensky. That is what they are saying. So Zelensky also spoke to Ukraine media. I believe it's Ukraine local media. And he said that Ukraine is winning. He said that the affirmation super wonder weapon. If you say it enough times, Ukraine is winning, Russia is losing, Ukraine is winning, Russia is losing, Ukraine is winning, Russia is losing. If you say it enough times, then it will manifest and it will become true. That is the latest strategy, the latest wonder weapon from not only Ukraine, but the entire collective West. And he also said that Ukraine has gained 300 square kilometers in the super duper 2026 counteroffensive in the Zaporozhye region that offends me and offends you and offends everybody and many people, including Ukrainian mapping channels, believe that this counteroffensive is not going on. It does not exist. It does not exist, this counteroffensive, or as builds Julian Ropke, who is a big-time Ukraine Zelensky fanboy. He said that this counteroffensive that Ukraine is mounting in the south of Zaporozhye is a counteroffensive via social media. It exists on X, but nowhere else. Zelensky said it's the truth. He said that Russia will not talk about it, but he said that this offensive is happening and Ukraine has gained this territory. He also throughout the number of 35,000 Russian casualties every month. So he threw that number out there as well. He also revealed to this journalist that the United States is still providing intel to Ukraine. They're providing the intel for the Ukraine military to strike deep inside of Russia. That is American intel, according to Zelensky. And I think that's it. I think those were all of his truths. I was going to say those were all of his lies, but Zelensky would never lie. He would never lie. Those are all of his revelations to the media. The purpose of all of this is to keep the war going, to keep the conflict going. A couple of days ago, he told his inner circle that the goal is to keep the conflict going for another 3 years. Negotiations are dead. They are done. They have failed, he said. And now Ukraine has to work to keep the conflict going for another 3 years, which is exactly what the Europeans are saying. It's exactly what the UK and the EU are saying. Keep the conflict going for 3 years. So the EU, they had their meeting in Brussels to talk about sanctions, the 20th sanctions package. This is, I want to cross, but well, let's cross that way. This is the sanctions package that will finally bring Russia to its knees, the 20th sanctions package. And the Europeans, you'll notice, all the European globalist elites, most of the European globalist elites, they have the British World War I, I believe it's called the poppy, the pin that you wear in the UK to commemorate, honor the casualties from World War I, if I'm not mistaken. But instead of it being red, it is in the colors of the Ukraine flag. And they're all wearing this. And to me, that signals that the BBC interview, along with the statement from Zelensky saying that we are in World War III, and the European globalist elite wearing this World War II, this World War I symbol, it means that this whole thing has been coordinated. The BBC reporter's question to Zelensky was scripted. Zelensky's answer was scripted. He was scripted, coached to say World War III. We are in World War III. And then you had the globalist elite wearing their World War pins or poppies. I believe they're called poppies, but anyway. So it's all theater. This is all performative. And it's all about keeping the conflict going, keeping the war going. Even though Ukraine is losing, and they are losing very bad, the goal is to keep Ukraine fighting for a couple of more years. That's the goal. It's kind of raining, kind of not. I think it's all right now. It's a drizzle. We'll be all right. I worry about the phone, the camera, more than anything. I think we're okay. So, the 20th sanctions package. The 20th sanctions package shall not pass, at least not this time around. Stunning and Brave came out to speak to reporters from a very tense meeting that was taking place. And she said that this time around, they will not be able to pass the 20th sanctions package. There are disagreements with this sanctions package. Of course, you have Hungary and Slovakia, who are at odds with the core EU globalist cool kids. But you also have Greece, Cyprus, and Malta, as well as a little bit of Italy, who are putting up resistance to the 20th sanctions package, because this sanctions package calls for a complete stop of Russian oil in Europe. A complete stop. No more Russian ships, no more Russian tankers, no more Russian energy, no Russian ships in any ports in Europe, in the EU. And this is going to cause Greece a lot of headaches. This is going to cause Cyprus a lot of headaches. Malta, Italy, big shipping countries, big shipping economies. They are not happy with this, or at least they are pretending to not be happy with this. Eventually, they will cave, as will Hungary and Slovakia. Eventually, they will agree to the sanctions package. That's the way it has always been. We've gone through this 20 times and 19 times and 19 times. Eventually, the sanctions are approved with whatever resistance is put up. Eventually, we've got tools. Ursula gets those sanctions through. But basically, what these sanctions are saying is that there will be no more price cap. You know, the whole $62 price cap thing that they put together that was going to bring the Russian economy to its knees and damage Putin's main revenue source for his war machine, his main funding for his war machine. Putting the price of oil at, what was it, $62 or something like that. Yeah, that thing has failed. But they have no reverse gear. So now they're going to be done with all of that. No more price caps, no more price floors, no more price ceilings, none of that. No oil, just a blockade. That's where we're heading towards, a blockade. Eventually, we're going to be heading towards a blockade. But you know what some of the reports are saying, and I was talking about this to Alexander. We did a video on this on the Duran, and Alexander brought up a good point where he is saying that there are reports which claim that the United States is not happy with this for a couple of reasons. One reason is that if the EU moves towards a blockade, well, the EU will not be able to successfully put up a blockade against Russia without the help of the United States. Without the United States, none of this can really work. You can't really put up an effective blockade. So the United States is resistant to that, or at least the Trump administration, parts of the Trump administration, are not so keen on getting involved in a EU blockade of Russian ships. Of course, what this will do is this will drive up prices. And that's something that the Trump administration is worried about. And another reason that they're not so hot on this is they're very worried about energy and oil at a time when you could be getting a conflict with Iran and you could possibly be having the closing of the Straits of Hormuz. So it's not exactly the best time for the Europeans to try and take Russian oil out of the market. So there is resistance to this. But I believe eventually these sanctions will go through. So that's the EU meeting that took place. During his interview with the Ukrainian journalist, Zelensky was asked about what he does to unwind. Does he go to the movies? Does he go to the theater? And Zelensky said, unfortunately, no, I don't go to the movies. I don't go to the theater. I don't go to the store. And I haven't been to a cafe once in all the years of war. But he is buying real estate. Allegedly, he's buying real estate. He doesn't go to the cafes. He doesn't go to the theater. He doesn't go to the movies. But man, is he buying up property? Just joking. He's not buying up any property. Come on, Alex. What are you saying? So the UK is very keen on putting boots on the ground in Ukraine after Boris Johnson's statement yesterday to the BBC. Man, the BBC is very busy. The busy British broadcasting company. They are very busy pushing for escalation with Russia, the BBC. Anyway, Boris Johnson talked about putting boots on the ground now. We got to have boots on the ground now. And now you have the Defense Secretary of the UK, Mr. John Healey. He is saying that he wants to be the first Defense Secretary to put UK boots on the ground in Ukraine. I want to send British troops to Ukraine. Defense Secretary says he will make 2026 the year the war ends. He's very excited about putting UK boots on the ground. He wants to be the first Defense Secretary, the first UK official, the first Collective West official to officially put boots on the ground in Ukraine. That is his goal. Okay. We'll see if he can make that happen. That's John Healey. The UK Times, they ran an article claiming that Ukraine needs 250,000 more troops to win the war in Russia. Putin can carry on waging war for another year, even with massive losses, while Kiev lacks weapons and manpower, say Western military sources. I thought Ukraine is winning. Which one is it? Is Ukraine winning? Is Ukraine capturing 300 kilometers of square kilometers of territory? Is Russia's economy in shreds, not in tatters? Kallis says Russia's economy is in shreds. Is the economy in shreds? Or does Ukraine need 250,000 soldiers in order to win the conflict? Without 250,000 soldiers, according to the Times of the UK, then Ukraine is not going to win. So keep on fighting. Keep on fighting, Ukraine. That's the message. The UK is very active in Project Ukraine. Very, very active. So the head of the FSB, Russia's FSB, he is saying that, look at the rainbow. Can you guys see the rainbow? Let's see if I can zoom in. There we go. Oh, very nice. Limassol. Limassol, Cyprus. The city of rainbows. I don't know what I'm saying. The city where you see a rainbow. Of course, that's every city. But anyway. What was I saying? Yes, the FSB head. He claims that the assassination attempt on the Russian general, Alexeyev, that happened about 2 weeks ago, was it? He said that it was done by, initiated by Kiev, by Ukraine, with the help, supervision, planning of, take a guess, the UK. That is what the FSB
head claims in an interview with Vesti TV channel on Sunday. Bortnikov reiterated that the assassination attempt was orchestrated by Kiev's intelligence services. However, they had been acting with the support of third countries. Bortnikov said, "We see the UK trace here. First and foremost, that's why the investigation continues," the FSB chief said. Without providing further details, he pledged that Russia would not allow the attack to go unanswered, describing any public discussion of specific retaliatory measures a delicate issue. Quote, "We are closely monitoring everything that is happening. Of course, we will never forget and we will never forgive," Bortnikov added. By the way, we have rumored talks between Russia and Ukraine, the fourth round, to take place in Geneva on February 26. So that's the message from the FSB head. Russia will not forget, they will not forgive, and they see UK traces behind the assassination of the general, and of course, Ukraine, he says, he alleges, was behind the assassination attempt. So the 26th is Thursday. The 24th, tomorrow, Tuesday, you have Trump's State of the Union. Yeah, the 26th is on a Thursday, and there are talks, there are reports which claim that the Russian negotiators will be meeting with the Ukraine team in Geneva. You know who else will be meeting on Thursday? Iran and the United States. Iran and the United States will be meeting on Thursday, I believe, in Geneva. So they're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the doubleheader. It's like a doubleheader event. You have the U.S. and Russia. I imagine Witkoff and Kushner are going to be there. And then after Russia and Ukraine, the United States, then you have Iran and the United States, or the reverse. But it's a doubleheader. It's a doubleheader of negotiations for the United States. That's all going to go down on Thursday, the 26th. Graham gave an interview to some media outlet, and they asked Lindsey Graham if Iran can hit U.S. bases, and is the risk worth it? That was the question posed to Graham. And no doubt about it, Graham said, sure, they can hit our bases, but absolutely the risk is worth it. So what did Graham say? He said, as for the soldiers taking this risk, they'll be the first to tell you, let's do it. Yeah, that was Graham's response. Let's do it. Even the soldiers that are going to be put in harm's way to fight this conflict that doesn't really need to happen, just go back to the JCPOA or work with Iran. By the way, Iran says that they have the framework ready to go and they're going to present it to the United States. Just work with Iran and avoid this conflict. Real simple, but not for Graham. He's been wanting this conflict all his freaking life. He's been wanting this conflict. And so he's doing his very best to make sure this conflict happens. His message, let's do it. Let's just do it. I believe the New York Times or the Washington Post, I always get those two mixed up. Same paper, same thing. Anyway, they are reporting that Trump is now leaning towards limited strikes, followed by big military strikes. But he has not made a final decision. But the reports are that he is going to start things off with limited strikes on Iran's ballistic missile facilities, factories. And then if we don't get a deal, he is going to move on to a big operation. We're talking a very, very big war. That's the latest update there. But once again, they made it a point to say that Trump has still not made a decision. You know, last time we had a meeting between Witkoff and Arachi, if I'm not mistaken, they had their talks, their seventh talks, on a Thursday, right? It was either a Thursday or a Friday. They were engaged in technical talks, and that's when Trump launched the operation, the greatest military operation in all of history, that took out the uranium enrichment facilities, which apparently the United States did not take out because they need to go to war again. But that was on a Thursday when they were having those meetings, right? Yeah, having the meetings on a Thursday and then Trump on that Friday or that Saturday, he launched the attack. And the talks were going really well between Witkoff and Araghchi. They both were saying that. So, sticking with the UK, wow, the UK is making a lot of news. And for all the wrong reasons. Sticking with Starmer, he is, according to GB News, he is accused of letting suspected child offenders off with a warning note while in charge of the CPS, in charge of the prosecutor's office. GB News claims that Starmer let these people off, these offenders off with a simple warning note. That's pretty damning. Now we're starting to get a much better understanding as to why the whole Andrew thing is going down, right? The more this Epstein stuff continues, the more it is investigated and the more it lingers, the more problems it creates for Keir Starmer and for UK establishment insider Mandelson. So that is why the UK media is now talking about the latest story about the prince formerly known as Andrew, right? The prince, yeah, prince. The latest story, latest update about prince formerly known as Andrew is that they are now considering the royals of removing his royal succession. He is, I believe, eighth or ninth in line to become king, and it's a very complicated process, my understanding of things. Very, very complicated process. You even have to include Canada and Australia and the parliaments of all of these countries and the royal family in order to remove Andrew from the line of succession. But now they are talking about this. They are seriously discussing and debating removing Andrew from the line of succession. Andrew Mountbatten of Windsor. Mountbatten of the Castle Windsor. Brokeback Mountain of Castle Grayskull. Andrew, the prince formerly known as Andrew. So that's an update there. Lots of trouble for Starmer. Lots of trouble. Someone tried to take out U.S. President Trump at Mar-a-Lago yesterday as well. Some guy walked into Mar-a-Lago, tried to enter Mar-a-Lago with a shotgun and a gas can, and he was killed. He was taken out, I believe by the Secret Service or maybe Florida police. They took him out, but he was killed. I don't know what he was thinking of doing with a shotgun and a gas can, just walking into Mar-a-Lago. But anyway, doesn't seem like he was all good up here. Allegedly, he was from North Carolina, the guy. But anyway, that went down. Yesterday, Trump was not even in Mar-a-Lago. Trump and Melania, I believe, were in D.C. They weren't even at Mar-a-Lago. So let's do a clown world, huh? We started out with some rain, and it cleared up. And now it's a beautiful afternoon. Got two rainbows now. You see? Limassol. Come to Limassol if you want to see rainbows. Whenever it does rain, which is very rare for it to rain here in Cyprus. So, clown world. Yeah, Kash Patel. Clown world, Kash Patel, no doubt about it. Congratulations to the USA for winning the gold medal in ice hockey. And it's been 46 years since the USA had won the gold medal in ice hockey, 2-1. But anyway, that's not the clown world. That's not the story here. The story is that Kash Patel, my understanding of things, is that he took the FBI private jet to Italy to watch the game, and not only watch the game, but to also party with the USA team in the locker room after their victory. They even gave him a medal, or at least they let him wear a medal, and there is video of Cash Patel hanging out in the locker room of Team USA celebrating the big gold medal, the victory. And my understanding is that he wants these videos removed. He's trying to remove these videos now, or the FBI is trying to scrub these videos of Cash Patel going to Italy on the FBI's jet, private plane, not for business, not for work, not for anything like that, not to look for the Italian professor or the Maltese professor Mifsud, right? Whatever happened to that guy? He was a professor in Rome, Rome University, wasn't he? Professor Mifsud? Maybe Cash Patel should have gone to Italy to find that guy. Well, Mifsud has disappeared. But Cash Patel, he went to see the Olympic gold medal game, and he was partying it up in the locker room, all on the U.S. taxpayers' dime. My God. Oh, my God. What kind of a world do we live in? All right. That's the video, everybody. I'm going to end it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram. And like this video, share this video. Subscribe to this channel. Thank you to everyone that is subscribed and that likes and that shares. I finally made it on YouTube. It's 254K after about a month and a half. Success. Success. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just joking around. But we did good. We're doing good. And go to the Durant shop. Pick up some merch. $70. You get free shipping on all purchases on the Durant shop. I will see everyone tomorrow. Also, go to our Substack. There's a link to our Substack in the description box down below. Take care.